Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Tuesday class, 1 July, 2025, Zachariah.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Zechariah chapter 2. Zechariah chapter 2. And in preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you for the privilege we have this evening of fellowshipping with you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, we are in this great passage, Zechariah 2, 8 and 9, and God's judgment on anti-Semitism. Well, I got the new July-August issue of Israel, My Glory, and Jim Showers, who is the president of the Friends of Israel Gospel Ministry, had this very excellent article. The concept of a two-state solution, a Jewish state and an Arab state, in the land of Israel, which the Roman Empire spitefully renamed Palestine, has existed for more than 100 years. Following the 1916 Sykes-Picot Agreement that divided the Middle East into political entities, then the 1917 Balfour Declaration, and then the 1920 San Remo Resolution established Britain and France's recognition of the right of a Jewish state in Palestine. Each of these documents also respected the rights of the Arabs living there. By 1937, Zionist statesman David Ben-Gurion had efficiently organized the Jewish community's leadership in Palestine. The Jewish people's representatives agreed to divide the land, part being Jewish and part Arab. Their nation's rebirth and peace mattered more to them than battling for sovereignty over the entire territory. Historically, Jewish leadership has agreed to every proposal for a two-state solution. including the 1937 Peel Commission partition plan, including the 1947 UN Resolution 181 partition plan, as well as Israeli offers in 1967 and 2000 and 2007 to exchange land for peace. The common denominator among the proposals is that the Arab leaders totally refused to accept a two-state solution. Totally refused to accept a two-state solution and totally refused to recognize Israel's legitimacy. Bafflingly, the Palestinians and their supporters blame Israel, the victim, for Hamas's massacre on October 7th, 2023. Yet Israel has not prohibited the creation of a Palestinian state. The Palestinians have. They refuse to accept a deal unless they can eliminate Israel and possess all of the land. Instead of peace and coexistence, they pursue violence and evil. They are 100% satanically evil. In doing so, they seek to eliminate the nation that God promised will not cease to exist unless the sun, the moon, and the stars disappear. Jeremiah 31, 35, and 36. The Lord incorporated this guarantee in the new covenant He made with Israel, making all attempts to destroy the Jewish people an attack on God Himself. Those who call for the Jewish state's destruction speak not for God, but for his adversary, the devil. As believers in the Jewish Messiah, we stand against Israel's enemies and actively love God's uniquely chosen people. Well, that's right where we are. Zechariah 2, verses 8 and 9. Zechariah 2, verse 8. Because thus says the Lord of the armies, Jehovah Tsevaoth, He, God the Father, sent me, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, after glory, to the nations that have plundered you, because whoever touches you, whoever strikes, abuses, and harms the Jewish people, strikes, abuses, and harms the apple of God's eye. Verse 9, for certainly I will raise my hand in judgment against them, so that they will become plunder for their slaves, and then you will know that the Lord of the armies, Jehovah Tsevaoth, has sent me. Well, this brought us to a study of the doctrine of anti-Semitism. And we have studied the first 6 points of the doctrine of anti-Semitism. We noted in point one the meaning of anti-Semitism. And anti-Semitism is a person, a group, an organization, or a nation who is hostile to the Jewish people. Anti-Semitism applies only to Jews. As a race and as a nation, not to all Semitic peoples. The term is defined as intolerance, hatred, prejudice, opposition, persecution, the exercise of terrorism, and military activity against the Jewish people. Since the Jews are the center of the angelic conflict, there is great satanic motivation and opposition against the Jews and the nation Israel, not only in the Middle East, but throughout the entire world. This persecution and hostility to the Jews will reach its peak in the tribulation period, 7-year period following the rapture of the church. Satan is the sponsor of all anti-Semitism, and anti-Semitism is part of Satan's plan called evil. Then point two was the declaration of God's thinking about anti-Semitism. And God's attitude is clearly delineated in the third paragraph of the Abrahamic covenant. In Genesis 12, verse 3, God declares, "I will bless those who bless you, Israel, but the one who curses and despises you, I will curse. And through you, Israel, all the nations of the earth will be blessed." And then point three was the principles of application. Good people become evil people by compromising with evil. Anti-Semitism is evil. It comes directly from Satan himself. Good people, by becoming anti-Semitic, take on the evil characteristics of anti-Semitism. Romans 12:21 gives the principle. Stop being overcome by evil, such as anti-Semitism, but overcome evil by means of the divine good. The divine good is the result of maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart, where you can think truth, which is applied skillfully and accurately to your life through the filling of the Spirit. God intends that Israel will not only survive all anti-Semitism, but through regeneration will become the final client nation to God in history during the 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ. And then in point four, we studied the threefold concept of the Jew. There's the racial Jew. There is the regenerate Jew. All Israel is not Israel. The regenerate Jew and the religious Jew. And we covered that in great detail, and I refer you to your notes on that. And then in point five, we studied the history of anti-Semitism. A definite correlation exists between the rise and fall of nations and their attitude toward and treatment of the Jew. Individuals, nations, and empires have been destroyed by anti-Semitism. Spain rose and then fell because of its persecution of the Jew in the Spanish Inquisition. The same happened with England and France and Assyria and Babylon and Rome. Germany under Adolf Hitler's anti-Semitism is a classic example. And client nations to God must be very careful about their attitude toward the Jews. And right now, anti-Semitism in client nation USA is increasing all over our nation. This will result in the destruction of the United States of America. We are destroying ourselves from within. We have turned away from the absolute truth of God and His Word and are now functioning by Satan's policy of evil, including anti-Semitism throughout America. However, individuals, nations, and empires have also been blessed by their kind treatment of the Jews. Alexander the Great, Darius the Great, Cyrus the Great, and believe it or not, Iran. Here's a time when Iran was a great, great nation. And these were great believers, spiritually mature believers, Cyrus the Great and Darius. Not today. They're satanic to the core today. But at this point in time, they were great, great believers. And there was a large pivot of believers in Persia, which is Iran, at that time. England under Cromwell, Germany prior to and during World War I, the United States during World War II had a kind attitude toward the Jews, and the results are evident. And then point six was the United States and anti-Semitism. The United States Constitution is the greatest document outside of the Bible for the protection of the Jewish people. The Constitution not only protects the Jew as a race, but protects him with regard to his religion. Our Constitution protects the Jewish citizen against racial and religious persecution. Many citizens in this country are Jews by race and religion, and therefore the government is not to interfere with or persecute them because of their race or religion. Now that brings us to point seven. We'll start this evening. Point seven, the panorama of anti-Semitism. And we're going to note anti-Semitism in the past, anti-Semitism in the present, anti-Semitism in the future. All right? First of all, anti-Semitism in the past. This is the basis of the story of Balaam. Numbers chapter 22. Also, anti-Semitism in the past is the history of Egypt and Assyria and the Chaldean Empire. The Egyptians enslaved the Jewish people. The Assyrians administered the fifth cycle of discipline on the northern kingdom. The Chaldeans administered the fifth cycle of discipline on the southern kingdom. Anti-Semitism in the past. Anti-Semitism in the present? Well, it's on the rise in client nation USA. But not just in client nation USA. It's on the rise all over the world. And then third, anti-Semitism in the future. And that will follow the rapture, the conclusion of the church age. And in that 7-year period, there will be the greatest attack on the Jews and the Jewish people in all of human history. Every Jew in that period of time, and for the most part, there have been marvelous, marvelous exceptions. We have had marvelous exceptions in our church, and born-again Jews, and it's been phenomenal, it's been fantastic, and that's great. But for the most part, they do not believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. But that's going to change. That's going to change in the tribulation period. When you get near the end, the last 3.5 years, the Great Tribulation, there will be an amazing revival in the world. And then they will realize a remnant will realize that Jesus Christ is the Messiah and believe in him. The Jew's future always depends upon his attitude toward Jesus Christ. In the tribulation, the two witnesses, Moses and Elijah, and the 144,000 super evangelists, 12,000 from the 12 tribes of Israel, they will evangelize the entire world in the tribulation. And there will be a remnant of Jews and Gentiles in the tribulation who will survive Satan's attempts to wipe them out. At the second advent, they are regathered. The Lord Jesus Christ will then separate the regenerate Jews and Gentiles from the unbeliever Jews and Gentiles. And the believer Jews and Gentiles will go into the millennial kingdom, and God's unconditional covenants to the Jews are fulfilled at that time. The Abrahamic, Palestinian, Davidic, and New Covenants will all be fulfilled for that remnant of Jewish believers. The unbeliever Jews and unbeliever Gentiles will be judged and sent to the fire of torments, where they are held until the second resurrection and the great white throne judgment, when they are cast into the lake of fire forever. And then point eight, anti-Semitism and the protocols of Zion. Now, I don't know if many of you know much about the Protocols of Zion. It's one of the greatest satanic attacks on the Jewish people in human history and throughout the church age. He's used this great attack, the Protocols of Zion. It is evil, it's satanic, it's total lies. Total lies, 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 lies. And Satan has used this throughout the church age to destroy the Jews and increase anti-Semitism throughout this dispensation. So let's bring you up to speed. One, this document is known as the Protocols of the London Elders of Zion. The Protocols of the London Elders of Zion. Two, it is totally fabricated. A totally fabricated document written by the Romanov Tsars, secret police in Paris prior to World War I. It is a totally fabricated document written by the Romanov Tsar's secret police in Paris prior to World War I. 3. It was a part of the Tsar's anti-Semitic attack on the Jews of Russia. It was a part of the Tsar's anti-Semitic attack on the Jews of Russia. But Satan, it keeps using this and bringing it up and bringing it up all over the world. Again and again and again. In America. In South America. All over the world, Satan uses this again and again and again to spread anti-Semitism. So it was a part of the Tsar's anti-Semitic attack on the Jews of Russia. The document consists of 24 sections, each one called a protocol. It professes to be the confidential minutes of a Jewish conclave convened in the last years of the 19th century. Subpoint 4. This was totally forged material. Totally forged material. After there was a famous trial held in Switzerland. After a famous trial in Switzerland in 1935, the judge wrote this opinion. Quote, I hope that one day there will come a time when no one will any longer comprehend how in this year almost a dozen fully sensible and reasonable men could for 14 days torment their brains before a court over the authenticity or lack of authenticity of these so-called protocols. These protocols that for all the harm they have already caused and may yet cause in the future are nothing but ridiculous nonsense. That's from the judge in the trial in Switzerland. 5. The protocols became a major source of propaganda between 1965 to 1967 throughout the Arab world. The protocols became a major source of propaganda between 1965 to 1967 throughout the Arab world. So Satan just keeps going from one place to another place to another place. 6. In 1967, the Soviet Union began an anti-Semitic campaign based on the main theme of the protocols. In 1967, the Soviet Union began an anti-Semitic campaign based on the main theme of the protocol. The main theme being that the Jews are attempting to control the world through an international banking system, as well as the extension of Jewish monopolies to ore mining, oil production, chemical production, transportation and publishing industries. This was all fabricated to attack the Jews. 7. In the 1970s, the protocols were widely circulated through Central and South America. Satan continues to attack the Jewish people, and he uses this strategy. In the 1970s, the protocols were widely circulated through Central and South America. Eight. Then, in the United States, the finding of the United States Senate Judiciary Committee concluded that the protocols of Zion are a vicious hoax. This is the United States Senate Judiciary Committee concluded that the protocols of Zion are a vicious hoax. They concluded, this Senate Judiciary Committee concluded, quote, every age and country has had its share of fabricated historical documents which have been foisted on an unsuspecting public for some maligned purpose. In the United States, such forgeries pop up periodically in the underworld of sub-politics. One of the most notorious and most durable of these is the Protocols of the Elders of Zion. According to the protocols, international communism is simply a manifestation of a world Jewish conspiracy that seeks to subjugate all non-Jewish peoples of the world. According to the protocols, the real enemy is not international communism, but international Jewry. This is still from our U.S. Senate Judiciary Committee. The protocols are one of a number of fraudulent documents that peddle the myth of an international Jewish conspiracy. Although the protocols have been repeatedly and authentically exposed as a vicious hoax, they continue to be circulated by the unscrupulous and accepted by the unthinking. Satan has used this. He's never stopped using it to attack the Jewish people. Point nine. Satanic anti-Semitism will occur after the rapture of the church in the tribulation. And this will be Satan's greatest attack to win the angelic conflict. This is the last chance he has to win the angelic conflict. And his objective is to destroy every Jew from the face of the earth. But you see, that's what he's trying to do now. That's what all these Arab peoples are trying to do. That's what Hamas is trying to do. That's what Hezbollah is trying to do. That's what Iran is trying to do. Satan has the same objective. It's just that in the tribulation, he knows he has only a short time, and he ramps everything up. So turn over to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation 12. Revelation chapter 12. Starting at verse 1. A great and wondrous sign appeared in heaven. A woman, Israel, clothed with the sun, Jacob, with the moon, Jacob's wives and mothers of the patriarchs, and under her feet and a crown of 12 stars on her head, the sons of Jacob. She was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon. In verse 9, he will be identified as Satan, the devil, with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on his head. His tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth so that he might devour her child the moment it was born. She gave birth to a son, the Lord Jesus Christ, a male child who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter, and her child was snatched up to God, to his throne. The ascension and session of Jesus Christ. The woman fled into the desert to a place prepared for her by God, where she might be taken care of for 1,260 days. That's the 3.5 years of the great tribulation. Verse 7. And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back, but he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil, or Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, "Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ, his Messiah. For the accuser of our brethren, who accuses them before our God day and night," and this is the evidence testing of great believers, "has been hurled down. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury because he knows that his time is short. When the dragon saw that he had been hurled to the earth, he pursued the woman, Israel, who had given birth to the male child, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the woman was given the 2 wings of a great eagle so that she might fly to the place prepared for her in the desert, where she would be taken care of for a time, times, and half a time." That's 3.5 years, the last 3.5 years of the great tribulation. "Out of the serpent's reach. Then from his mouth the serpent spewed water like a river to overtake the woman, Israel, and sweep her away with the torrent. But the earth helped the woman by opening its mouth and swallowing the river that the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. And then the dragon was enraged at the woman, Israel, and went off to make war against the rest of her offspring, those who obey God's commandments and hold to the testimony of Jesus. This is the greatest. Satanic anti-Semitism will reach its all-time greatest attack after the rapture of the church in the tribulation, Revelation chapter 12. In verse 1, the woman seen in heaven is Israel. She's clothed with the sun, a reference to Jacob. The moon is a reference to Jacob's wives and the mothers of the patriarchs. The 12 stars are the 12 sons of Jacob. That's verse 1. In verse 2, Israel's pregnancy is a reference to the Holocaust, pregnancy of unbelieving Jews in the tribulation, and the labor pains, great anti-Semitism. In verse 5, the child is the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 13, Satan the dragon persecutes the woman Israel with the greatest holocaust of anti-Semitism of all of human history. Verse 14, but God protects her in Edom, in Moab, and Ammon for 3.5 years. So, Zechariah 2, 8 and 9. Again, because thus says the Lord of the armies, Jehovah Tzevaoth, He, God the Father, sent me, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, after glory, to the nations that have plundered you, because whoever touches you, strikes, abuses, and harms the Jews, strikes, abuses, and harms the apple of God's eye. For certainly I will raise my hand in judgment against them, so that they will become plunder for their slaves. And then you will know that the Lord of the armies, Jehovah Tzevaoth, has sent me. All right, now, in Zechariah chapter 2, verses 10 to 13, now we have a spotlight put on millennium. Millennial kingdom and millennial blessings. Zechariah 2, 10 to 13. Millennial blessing for the nations. Millennial blessing for the nation Israel. Millennial blessing for Jerusalem. So, by way of introduction, one, the inhabitants of Jerusalem are told to praise God and rejoice over their future for three reasons. First of all, the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of all kings and Lord of all lords, will dwell in Jerusalem and rule planet Earth from the throne of David. And that's verse 10. So the inhabitants of Jerusalem are told to praise God and rejoice over their future for three reasons. First of all, the Savior, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, will dwell in Jerusalem and rule planet Earth from the throne of David. That's verse 10. Secondly, Gentile, in verse 11. Verse 11, we have the Gentiles. Believer Gentiles from every nation will come to Jerusalem to worship the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, as he rules and over planet Earth and reigns as the King of kings and Lord of Lords in Jerusalem. Verse 11 is the Gentile. So verse 10, the presence of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Verse 11, the Gentiles will come to worship the Messiah when he rules and reigns in Jerusalem. Verse 12, Judah's privileges in the millennial kingdom. Judah will be uniquely privileged. Verse 12. And then in verse 13, there is a solemn silence. A solemn silence before the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of all kings and Lord of all lords. That's verse 13. All of these are millennial blessings. All right? So first of all, Zechariah 2, verse 10, the Messiah's presence. Sing and rejoice, O daughters of Zion. We have the cal imperative of the verb ranan, plus the conjunction vav prefix to the cal imperative of the verb samak, plus the noun bat, joined by a makef to tzion. Now, the first verb, ranan, not used a lot in the Hebrew. R-A-N-A-N, ranan. Okay, a couple of things. Literally, one, it means to give a ringing cry, to shout. To give a ringing cry, to shout. Two, ranan is an expression of great happiness and exultation. An expression of great happiness and exultation. Third, ranan is shouting as a result of great inner happiness. There is going to be a lot of shouting and rejoicing and celebrating in the millennial kingdom. And then we have with ranan, samak. Now this is used quite a few times. S-A-M-A-C-H, samak. This is used many times. So samak, one, literally means to rejoice, to celebrate, to be glad. To rejoice, to celebrate, to be glad. There are going to be lots of celebrations in the millennial kingdom. Two, this is rejoicing as a result of great inner happiness. Rejoicing as a result of great inner happiness. Three, the millennial kingdom will be a time of great celebration, great rejoicing, great inner happiness. Why? Point four, because the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of all kings and Lord of all lords, is ruling planet Earth in perfect righteousness, in perfect justice, perfect world peace. Man will not learn war anymore. Perfect world peace. Perfect environment. Perfect environment. And great worldwide prosperity. Great health. great health. You'll live the entire 1,000 years unless you commit a capital crime. And if you commit a capital crime in the millennial kingdom, you're executed. Not like it is today. Today you can commit capital crimes and then they release you to go out and commit more capital crimes. That's our country today. But not in the millennial kingdom. You commit a capital crime in the millennial kingdom, you're executed. And if you only live to be 300 years old, you committed a capital crime. Otherwise, you'll live the entire 1,000 years. And I'm talking about, you say, well, you're going to be there in your resurrection body, but there, those people who go into the millennium, they're in their physical bodies. They're in their physical bodies, not resurrection bodies, and they're going to have children, and they're in physical bodies. And their children are going to have children. They're going to repopulate the earth. When the millennial kingdom starts, there aren't that many people. But by the end of 1,000 years of it gets very populated. So, and then we have Bat Zion, O daughter of Zion. So shout, shout and rejoice from great inner happiness, O daughter of Zion. All right, one. Israel's Messiah has returned. The second advent. Israel's Messiah has returned. The second advent. Two, he has judged and destroyed all of Israel's enemies. He has judged and destroyed all of Israel's enemies. Three, he is ruling planet Earth, reigning from the throne of David. He is ruling planet Earth, reigning from the throne of David. Four, the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords is in Jerusalem, and he is the king of the entire world. The King of all kings and the Lord of all lords is in Jerusalem, and he is the king of the entire world. Now, there are many wonderful passages. Let's take a look at some of these. First of all, Psalm 93. Psalm 93. Psalm 93. Verse 1. Psalm 93, verse 1. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. He is returned, the second advent, sitting on the throne of David and ruling planet Earth. The Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed in majesty and is armed with strength. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. Your throne was established long ago. You are from all eternity. This is a part of God's perfect plan from all eternity. Turn over to Psalm 96. Psalm 96, verse 1. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. And then turn over to Psalm 98. Psalm 98, verse 4. Shout for joy. Well, there's our word. Ronan! Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp. Well, it's a stringed instrument. I don't think there'll be any harps in the millennial kingdom. But there's a lot of people think that when you get to heaven, you're going to be playing a harp. I hope not. I think a harp is a stupid instrument, but there are some people that know how to play them. But if you play a harp, bless you, child. You know. Make music to the Lord with the harp and the sound of singing, with trumpets. Now, there's something great. Trumpets. With trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord. The King. Psalm 98, 4 through 6. Then turn over to Isaiah. Isaiah 52. Isaiah 52. Starting at verse 7. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. Reigns as the King of Kings over all of planet Earth. Listen, your watchmen lift up their voices. Together they shout for joy. When the Lord returns to Zion, they will see it with their own eyes, burst into songs of joy together. Great, great celebration in the millennial kingdom, you ruins of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord will lay bare his holy arm in the sight of all the nations. And all the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our God. And then turn over to Zephaniah. Zephaniah. Zephaniah chapter 3. We'll start at verse 14. Zephaniah chapter 3. And this it starts out in verse 14. Just like we're starting out here in verse 10. The celebration, the shouting, the rejoicing. It's doing the same here. Verse 14. Sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice. With all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem, the Lord has taken away your punishment. He has turned back your enemy. The Lord, the King of Israel, is with you. Never again will you fear any harm. On that day, they will say to Jerusalem, do not fear, O Zion. Do not let your hands hang limp. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love and grace. He will rejoice over you with singing. So, point four. The King of all kings and the Lord of all lords is in Jerusalem. And he is the King of the entire world. All right. Well, we'll take it up at this point in verse 10. So far, shout and rejoice, celebration from great inner happiness, O daughters of Zion. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.